Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spontaneous Spirit Talk with Panda and Lion on the WithInsightsRadio.com network. The call-in number is 646-595-3440. The chat room will be open as well. Again, that call-in number is 646-595-3440. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome to Spontaneous Spirit Talk with Panda and Lion on the WithInsightsRadio.com network. The call-in number is 646-595-3440. The chat room will be open as well. Again, that call-in number is 646-595-3440. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hello?
Welcome to Spontaneous Spirit Talk with Panda and Lion on the WithInsightsRadio.com network. The call-in number is 646-595-3440. The chat room will be open as well. Again, that call-in number is 646-595-3440. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hello?
Iggy Garcia here with WithInsightsRadio.com. I want to thank you for tuning in today, and I wanted to share with you today something that's really close to my heart, my shamanic practice. So I wanted to take a moment and share three episodes that I did. They're called Urban Suburban Shamanism, The Urban Shaman, Iggy Garcia. So I want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy. These episodes have been put together. I haven't really edited them. So they're 30-minute segments. So after each 30-minute segment, they will actually say thank you for tuning in. So don't disconnect or don't hang up, because the show at some point will continue playing on. Maybe in the future I will edit them, but right now I didn't feel like they were appropriate to be edited. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Welcome everybody to our show here
and hope you can sit back here for about half an hour and just chill with us a little bit. This show is going to be about your shamanic path, your journey. This will be kind of a insight, a touch, becoming shaman, becoming medicine man or woman. So I just kind of want you to sit back and relax a little bit and just listen to what I have to say. I don't expect anyone to agree or disagree. Just enjoy and take with you what you feel is important. And as it's titled, it's called The Urban Suburban Shaman. In this day in life, a lot of us do not live in the woods. A lot of us don't congregate, you know, like the old days, and solitude, different types of solitude. So what I'm going to try to attempt to do over this show is to express that feeling, what it means to be a holy person or a vessel, a facilitator to the world, to yourself, to your friends and family. You know, things that that you find, you know, important to you. I do have a slight cold, so kind of fighting that. So I do apologize if you hear a sniffle from time to time. But that's where we're at today. The show is going to be based about how do we live our path, especially in a concrete jungle that we've created as human beings. This concrete jungle that we've created out here sometimes can stifle us. Sometimes it can cause us to be feeling a certain way, to act a certain way, to behave a certain way. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge to be a person who is drawn and called, you know, by the spirit, by the great Waiakan, by the great, you know, mystery, by God, to do certain types of work. I personally was raised Catholic. I was raised, you know, very parochial style, Roman Catholic. We had our beliefs. We were pretty stuck by them. But I was also raised by medicine people. I was also raised by my mother, my father, and my grandmother, who were very into Native American traditions and different styles and their own styles, their own creations, their own, you know, history, lineage. For a while, that was actually was a no-no for when I came to this country as a child. Not that it was a no-no in the sense, but we were trying to fit in. We were trying to be part of the culture, be assimilated, to be one with everybody and to be accepted, to create a new way of life. But for us, it was normal. It was normal to be that way, to understand, to take an egg and pass it among someone's body and pull out, you know, that the eye, the all-seeing evil eye that sometimes childs get. That's just one example. You know, putting water on somebody, putting agua florida, which is Florida water, you know, on somebody to, you know, waken them up, to bless them, to revive them. The sacred smoke, the sacred smudges. So I know we were talking about how are you going to be a shaman? How are you going to be a medicine person in this world? You know, number one, knowing where to even find somebody who does this type of work. And the thing is, the student always finds the teacher, and the teacher always finds the student. So that's the way I always have lived my life, that sometimes the searching is part of the journey, to understand that within that search, within that journey of you searching for your mentor or whoever, there's a lot to see and a lot to explore. Because once you get to that mentor, once you get to that holy person, to that shaman, to that medicine man or woman, they will ask you questions about your journey along the way, what you saw, what you experienced. So for those of you who are seekers or wanderers and searching, always journal and always record the things that are happening to you, you know, as you're journeying through this world. Come into this place, you know, where you want to come and be able to express what's inside your heart, what is happening to you. Being a shaman, is it a lonely existence? Maybe a long time ago it was. The shamans of today are very different than the shamans of past, but there are some who live that life, you know, that solitary life, and when called upon, they will show up. But every day, we're in communion with nature. We're in communion with all aspects of life. Every day, we see the sun. Every day, we see the trees. Every day, we touch the grass. To understand what it means to all my relations to be one. I am also a Peruvian shaman, but I'm also a Nemenha medicine man. I'm an understudy. I'm learning the ways of the Nemenha, Native American group here in the United States. And I'm also one of their chiefs, very honored to be, accept that calling. But those journeys and those things never stop. They never end. Never, ever, ever. That's when you know that you're a true student, a true teacher, is because when you never stop learning these mystical ways. My advice is to learn everything. To learn everything you could possibly touch, everything you can feel, and go in there with an experience and go with an open eye, an open heart of understanding that someone else's medicine is very valuable and important to them. As a shaman, as a medicine person, we honor and respect other people's medicine. We do not dictate, we do not tell them that this is the way it must be done. No, we honor. As long as we, in this return, ask the same of the person with us. I believe that a person who's doing stones, a person who's doing Reiki, a person who's doing the proper and doing the thing they need to do that aligns their spirit and soul, that we always evolve, we always change, we always want to learn new things. So is any healing better than another? Absolutely not. Every healing has its purpose, a higher purpose, a calling, something that says, I am going to do this because I resonate with touching and not touching, to put my hands above someone's face, their body, and touch areas deep within that I can't even see, to feel the energy coursing through my fingers, like lightning coming through. It's whatever centers you. Especially in this world that we live today, we live in this concrete jungle, like I mentioned earlier. It is a concrete jungle. It is a world that has changed, that has morphed into something completely different than we are even used to. Years and years and years ago, the mountains were there, and we carved through the mountains, we carved through the trees, we carved through the land. We re-landscaped the landscape. We changed it. But the landscape is still there. It has taken new form. It has taken a new embodiment. It has taken a new love, a new course of energy, a new course of existence. What was once ground, dirt, rock, and stone has become mountains of, called a building, a skyscraper. Our new landscape is of mountains. Our roads that used to be dirt, grass, have now become pavement. How many times do we honor these sacred beings, these sentinel beings, these living, coursing beings? When's the last time when you were driving on the road gave thanks to the highway for supporting you? When was the last time you said, thank you, tires, for supporting my car and keeping me in a safe way? When was the last time you thanked your vehicle for driving and making it to the next block? A lot of us don't even think about that. But as a wanderer, as a shaman, as a medicine person, we acknowledge that other things are here with us, that we are not alone, that we work together, that we're in harmony, in a balance, in a rhythm together. So when you're outside and when you see the things that are normal to you, but what happens is as human beings, we become so consumed with life and with money and all these things that are important to us at some level. At some level, it's important to us because we feel and we've been conditioned to understand that and to accept that. Do we have to have money? No, the worth and people made it this far without money, but now it's the monetary system. It's the system that has caused corruption and greed. Will it change? Absolutely will change because it can't hold. It can't sustain itself. When will it change? I don't know. I'm not privy to that information, but I do know this. It will change and it will manifest into something completely different. Now we're moving into a credit system. How many credits do you have? How many credits do you have on your card? That's not even how much money anymore. Even when you put a coin in a video machine, it's called credits. It's not called money. So they're being conditioned into a system of where we put our services to use, and now we get credited for that use. So when you go to the store and you want to return an item, now they don't give you money back. They give you a credit. So as I'm saying, things do change, and we must change with them, and we must also understand how we will change with them. We do not have to agree with the change. We don't have to stand by and observe it, or we don't have to stand by and just be a participant. We can actually be part of the manifestation. We, as human beings, have manifested everything that we see in front of us. Everything that is around us is our manifestation, our creation, through the great creator. We saw We saw a need, and we said, we're going to do it like this. But was this the only way to do it? Absolutely not. It was not the only way to do it. This is the way that was the most easiest and most profitable for a lot of people. But now we've become new shamans. Now the world needs more shamans. We need more urban shamans. We need more suburban shamans. We need shamans from all walks of life, not just shamans who are hiding in the woods, who have a great value, who hold energy and hold space for us. But the new shamans are very connected to their environment. They understand it. They know what ails the people here. They know why and what is needed. But a lot of these shamans are quiet and silent. I'm not saying you have to go out and announce that you're a shaman. I'm a shaman. Here's my card. No, but understand that the things that we have here, there's a great need for people who need this kind of work. People who are asking to, you know, be understudies, to study and to learn the ways of the shaman. If you believe that you're one of these urban, suburban shamans, it's time for you to get back into ceremony and to honor and to respect and to show the Mother Earth, I see you. I honor you. I'm with you. The waters have changed. The air has changed. The animals have adapted. The animals have changed. The animals have, the fear level is very different now. They used to fear us. And they shouldn't fear us, but they used to fear us. Now they've even come so close to even stand next to us. As I sat in my house with my family the other day, I sat here on the couch. We were watching, of all things, a wolf movie. It was called American Werewolf in Paris. It was one of those movies that I'd seen when I was a younger man. And then all of a sudden I hear this rasping noise. And I wasn't sure what it was. I go to the window and I can't see anything because I don't have my flashlight. And I couldn't quite figure out what was going on. So I just kind of let it go. Just say, go, be gone, be gone. There was a slight fear, a slight tinge. I wasn't sure who was calling and who was beckoning our welcome or beckoning us to allow them in. But later that morning, around 5 a.m., my daughter comes running up to our bed. And granted, my daughter's 21 years old. And she's like, Dad, there's a deer at my window. And he's rubbing himself against the house. And I was afraid to open, but I just peeked a little bit. And I saw it was a big... He had taken his antlers and just rubbed them on the apple, little baby apple tree that we had there. So the animals are communicating with you. They're talking to you. Do all the communication, does it all have meaning? Maybe not. Maybe not every single one. But I do believe this. The animals are talking. The animals are saying that things need to change. When it's all said and done, if we do self-destruct the human race, the animals will always be here. They will always come back. They will always take over. They will walk the paths that are important to them. So be thankful. I ask you, as students or as friends, as teachers, to come together and to start bringing a resurgence, a revival for peace and love, and to communicate with our brothers and sisters of the animal kingdom who speak to us every day through flight, through burrowing, through galloping, through a roar, through a squaw. It's time. It's time to acknowledge the trees, the grass. Standing 30 minutes out in nature, barefooted, does tremendous healing powers for your body, a cleansing. And I know some people, you know, have their Christian beliefs and different things, but it talks about that we are the domains of this planet. Ha! I laugh. That's true, maybe, to some degree, because we can burrow it over and bear it up. But I tell you, the Mother Earth always has the last laugh. Because when our buildings come crumbling down and our buildings come falling and our roads collapse and crack, who takes over? Nature. Mother. She comes streaming back up. We battle and we fight just to keep up with her and to keep her under control. You can't keep her under control. When you're buried your streets and you put your building, she grows around you, a forest that you don't even notice. She can grow a forest in a matter of a year or two. Like that. That's how much we've changed. That's how much nature has adapted. So I welcome you to go out into nature. Talk to nature. Experience nature. Nature awaits your calling. If you're in an urban setting, then go and look at your surroundings. Learn your surroundings. See what's new, what's different. What have you not noticed? If you're in a suburban setting, do the same thing. So you see a house and you see this and you see that. But look beyond the house, look beyond the trees, look beyond. When's the last time you actually listened to the wind blow by your ear? When's the last time you saw the trees moving and waving in the air? I can tell you when it's going to rain. Just by looking at the trees and seeing how fast the leaves move above the tree lines. I don't need to turn on the TV to understand that. There's an innate built system inside of us that understands these things. As people on this planet, we can manifest and create things constantly, every single day. So I ask this question, and as I always do when I'm in the shower, I ask for some type of guidance and some type of direction. And one of the first things is, what ails you and what hails you? What is ailing you? What's keeping you from the life that you should live, the life that you want to live? What hails you? What is calling you to move forth into that light, into that manifestation? Which one is greater, the hailing or the ailing? Is the ailment, the creation of your mind, slowing you down, stopping you? Oh, I have fibromyalgia. Oh, I don't feel well. Oh, my back. What is it? What's holding you back? Oh, I don't have the money. Oh, my dad. Oh, they would disapprove. Ah, la, 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 ha, la, 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 la. You know, I'm going to tell you, I do know one thing for sure, that all of us have the same ticket to wherever we believe we're going to go. Okay? We all will perish. We will all go back to the earth. We will all return back to the mother, back to the skies, back to the waters, back to the wind. So why not make the best of it while you're here? Why don't you do the best you can do with the tools that you have? And if the tools that you have in your arsenal that you've lived with all your life aren't serving you, well, it might be time to add more tools and maybe discard some of those old tools and recycle them to the universe. So what ails you? How do you speak to yourself? How do you say, hey, I love you? Is it hard to say I love you? Is it hard to say I love parts of you? Is it difficult? You really have to ask yourself these questions, because you're with yourself every single day, every moment of your life. For you will listen to yourself in the final decision that you have to make, in the final choice you make. Even if somebody gives you advice, you still have to make the final choice and the final decision towards that advice. So there is no cop-out, because you still, however you're going to experience life, however you want to experience life, it's up to you. How are you willing to experience life? How would you like to experience life? I can't tell you how to do that, but I can tell you this. The choices you make will define you and make you. Now, the choices sometimes we make are wonderful, and sometimes the choices we make are going to be a learning experience. Okay. Some people would say they're bad. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I don't know. I'm not here to judge that. I can't judge that. Because what's bad for one is good for another. So the choices you make, we always have to make choice. You made a choice to listen to this segment. You've made a choice to get up at a certain time. You've made choices to do nothing. You've made choices to do a lot of things. But choices are there. So I ask you, what ails you? Now I ask you, what hails you? What is hailing you? What is calling you? What is that word? What is that feeling inside your body, inside your heart? What is that look? What is that voice when you're sitting there and you're wondering and you're going, wow, I resonate with this. Wow, I get that. I wish I was doing that. Wow, I'm so jealous of that guy, but it's still a calling. It's that screaming. So many of us gone to college or going to college to make a career of for ourselves, to live in a system that says, if you work this many days and this many hours, we'll pay you this much money. If you go to college for these many years and this many times, and I'm not knocking it. Trust me, I'm not knocking it. I'm making an observation from my vantage point, from my perception only. You're part of a business that's selling you a piece of paper saying, hey, here it is. I have friends who are master's degrees, PhDs, who can't even find a job, can't even find a job in their field. Okay? Something's wrong. Something's not right when that happens. Something's not right when you can't apply and receive a job that you are studied in. You know, So for me, that's kind of a contradiction. It's something that's, you know, if I wanted to be a teacher and I can't teach because there's no teaching jobs or I have to move or whatever, fine. But there's a lot of people out there. Education is a value, just like this course and we're doing in the Urban Suburban Shaman. This is just, it's an education to learn, to hear something for the first time again or the first time once or many, many times. So what hails you? What calls you? What is your calling your spirit? What is engulfing you? What is saying, I want to be this, I want to do this? Are you doing it? What will it take for you to step out of your comfort zone? What will it take? A tragedy? A happy moment? Seeing that someone else can do it? You can do anything if you put your mind and you set your goals and your priorities towards it. Some of us work in things that we just hate. I know you because I've been there. I've been there. So folks, I ask you, what ails you and what hails you? What is more powerful, the ailment or the calling? The drive, the motivation. If you feel that sickness is serving you and that's where you need to be, then honor it. Honor where you're at. At least honor it and say, you know what, Thevaraja, I honor you. And I thank you for allowing me to feel pain again. I'm feeling it. I didn't feel it before. But now that you know that you're feeling the pain, now that you know that you're feeling this feeling about whatever you're feeling, it's time to address it and speak to it. Dear body, I honor you. You're my temple. I can't live without you at this moment. We're here together. Your spirit, your soul, and your body are connected. Most of us think that they're one, but they're separate. They're separate. It's like the battery in your car is separate from the motor, separate from the chassis, separate from the wheels. They all have a combined, and they all work together when the key is turned on. So when you turn the key on, how are you functioning? Is your engine light on? When's the last oil change you had? How do you feed your body? What do you give your car every day? Do you check the pressure in your tires? You check the pressure in your body, the blood pressure. Are you maintaining your health, your vitality, the way you do with your car? The reason I give you a metaphor here is because this is an urban, suburban way of life. We drive cars now. We don't ride horses like we used to. Some of us do, but we don't ride them in the city like we used to. A lot of us who are going to hear the show drive cars, motorcycles, bicycles, walk. To be the shaman in the urban setting, to be the shaman in the suburban setting, is one to understand, one to acknowledge, and one to observe, one to see, one to value what's in front of them, value the people. When someone else is angry, are you responding or are you reacting? When someone needs a push, when their car breaks down, do you give them a blessing because you can't stop? Or do you laugh? Or do you move forward and just ignore it like nothing happened? Or are you the shaman who gets out and pushes the person to the side and asks if they're okay and if they could use a cell phone to call a family member or loved ones, whatever? Do you see faces in the trees, in the leaves? Do you see faces in the clouds? When you throw a rock in the water, do you notice how many ripples come off that rock that you've thrown in? Stepping into shamanism is to understand that you will be walking in two worlds. A world that is of the human being, of the people who are around you, and the world of nature. Some people say it's the dark, it's the, you know, the death. No, that is for some shamans. But there are other shamans who believe that you walk and you notice the other things that are around you. Life. As I look out this window right now, outside my window, I see a face of a woman smiling at me with long black hair. Her hair is parted through the middle. And the funny thing is she's playing a flute. And I'll have to take a picture of this, and hopefully it comes out. I might have to doctor it up and touch it up a little bit. But I'm just totally amazed by watching her and acknowledging that what we're talking about is true. And she's happy. But I also see a face of a dragon with its tongue spitting out. A reminder that we do live in the other world as well. We may be in peace, but there's also that other aspect of people who are not in alignment and not resonate with the beliefs and the thoughts that we are creating. So, folks, I ask you, just be kind to yourself. Honor where you're at as a human being. You know you can do better. We all know we can do better. If you're happy where you're at, and I honor that for you. And I'm grateful for that. I'm nothing but another person like you, trying to survive and trying to make the best of this world. So I just say, when you go out today, be a little more observant about the things around you. Try to look for things that you've never looked for before. Look down, look up, look all around, turn around. When was the last time you actually got on all fours and touched the ground and saw things from that vantage point? Like our four-legged brothers and sisters. When's the last time you stood like a tree, the standing people, and stood there? When's the last time you just curled up like a ball and acted like the stone people? And just watch the earth rotate for millions and millions of years as a stone. Think of all the energy and all the download information that those rocks hold. They're recorded history, fossils, things that we can't even identify right now. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Urban Suburban Shaman series. I'll be popping in and out. There won't be any set time for it. But when I feel the calling and when I feel the urge to record these messages and share them with you, I will. I am also on withinsightsradio.com, and that's on the Blog Talk Radio Network on Mondays at 6 p.m. if you want to tune in. I'm also on Facebook at Iggy Garcia Hoop Watcher. Look for me there. I also have my own website, my own blog site at iggygarcia.com. Visit us there. And I also have my own restaurant, Ion Garcia's International Restaurant here in Columbus, Ohio. So come visit us. We have drum circles on Saturdays. We have a good time. And you get to meet other like-minded people. The drum circle is amazing. We share a lot of energy. We share a lot of beliefs. And visit us at nemenhab.org as well. Then you can kind of learn about my people, my adopted people, my friends, my family. With that, I want to say thanks to everybody. I hope you enjoyed this topic that we covered today, and I'll talk to you soon. Today. My name is Iggy Garcia. Wanted to take this time and thank everybody for tuning in to Within Sights Radio, withinsightsradio.com. We are actually broadcasting here on the Speaker Network, so hopefully you get a chance to check us out. This is a live show, and probably by the time you hear it, it's going to be a pre-recorded show. So I want to welcome everybody to the studio. Yeah, I can be a goofball from time to time, and you know, it's kind of my medicine, kind of being a comedic shaman, using, you know, my gift of laughter and my gift of cracking jokes and stuff to make situations better, helping heal and stuff. But today I wanted to talk a little bit about, we talked about our last show, we were talking a little bit about what it meant to be a urban, suburban shaman. But in this one, I just kind of want to talking about giving thanks to the gifts that you've been given, the different gifts that have been endowed to us through the Great Spirit and through God and through the universe, or whatever you resonate with, whatever brings you to center. So I wanted to take that moment to, you know, understanding and looking at things from not so necessarily a human point of view, but a spiritual point of view, a way where, you know, you see things on a much higher level versus as a human level. Human level is very easy to get lost in, to be sidetracked, to be, distracted, and to see life, like day to day, every day, getting out of your car, getting out of bed, brushing your teeth. But to be, you know, grateful and thankful for all the things that help you along the way, that help you on this path of enlightenment, this path. You know, like I always say, there are no enlightened people. There are enlightened moments where the person becomes enlightened, when that person becomes the magic for someone else, for themselves. But regardless, you're always creating and you're always doing. So thanks is big. You know, today on Facebook, I kind of wrote something, you know, being sarcastic, being a little funny, just kind of like the white dudes coming across the ocean there and not knowing how to camp, and then the dark dudes helping them out, you know, feeding them, helping them how to gather, how to protect themselves. And little unbeknownst to them, did we know that there was some more guys are going to come across the sea and, you know, take over territories and lands, and next thing you know, it's done. It's not complaining, and it's not, you know, saying that it was right or wrong. It just is. It's done. It's complete. It's over. It doesn't mean that people have to forget. We have a tendency where we're told to, we have to forget things and move on. Granted, yeah, you want to move on. You want to move forward. Don't want to get stuck in the memories and the old soundtrack, the old play, the old recording of the movie that you're watching. But there comes a point where you have to also give thanks. You know, these people, you know, we have to give them thanks that this land no longer, they occupy it, and now it's occupied by an occupying nation, by an occupying people. So it's not like this is, we can't hide from the fact that that happened. Yeah, but we have to move forward in healing and in loving and caring. But it's difficult for some people if when you're not in their shoes and you don't understand, and it's not about being racist or being a certain way towards a certain group of people. It's understanding that, you know, this was someone else's land, this was someone else's home, and through conquest and through, you know, greed and money, religion, it's no longer the landscape that it was once. And that's kind of the way of man. The way of man is to take, you know, and build and destroy and rebuild and destroy, dominate, bring down. But in the shamanism, it's different. That's why we lack shamans. We need medicine people. It's kind of like when they need preachers and they need different types of people who minister. These are people who minister more closer to the earth, people who are more involved, more closer. So that's why I'm here, to share with you the things that I've learned along the way and things that I'm still learning. Understanding that pieces and parts of us have been lost through the conquest. Pieces and parts of us have been disrupted. The energies have been changed. There's a certain reason why people act and behave a certain way, because there's a lot of energetic miasms inside the body that have been recorded and passed down from generation to generation. And these people feel it. And it's anger, the rage, the frustration. Not only were there conquests here in the United States as we know it, there's also conquests in Europe and China, South America, all over. where another group was more dominant, more powerful than the other. The conquests are very different now. We actually have religious wars. We don't call them that, but that's what they are. We have to call things what they are, or the big crusades. I'm not saying that you have to agree with what I say. It's just another version, another way, how someone, another human being sees life. And that's kind of where we have issues, that we don't allow other people to see life in their own beauty, in their own way. Granted, there's 7.5 billion people on this planet, and they all see life differently. There's no way in the world that everybody could see the life the same. It's just not possible. We could see a version, we can experience it in a certain way, but all of us looking out one window see life completely different. We come to an agreement, we come to a joint, we come to a place where we say, hey, yeah, I see what you're seeing, but yet, are you really seeing what I'm seeing? Do you really experience the full fold of what I'm actually experiencing? That's what happens with human beings. And why we have conflict, and why we have love, and why we have all these different things. Because it's of our experience, our perceptions, how we perceive the world, how we look at the world, how we digest in the information and break it down, and how we translate it through our brains, through our systems of filtering, and through all the different things that are inside of our head. One of us can look at a picture and, you know, completely see something completely different. Some would say, oh, she looks beautiful. Oh, wow, she's gotten older. Oh, wow, she's really grown up. We all pull from these different things, different experiences, which make us unique, like every snowflake that falls from the sky. So that's what's so cool about being a human being, that existence, that belonging. I know in our last show we were talking about that we needed more shamans, that we needed more medicine people. We needed more people connected to the earth. And the reason I say this is, as human beings, we collectively all work together to create. In this creation that we create, constantly, it's always evolving, always changing, it's always happening. There is a creation going on. We do create, we do manifest. Because when you look out the window, we've created neighborhoods, we've created houses, we've created roads, we've created things that we think serve a purpose for us. Now, the thing of the creation came from our ancestors, people who were before us. But us here in the present moment continue, and we continue holding on to that energy, to that space. So if we want to see change, if we want to see manifestation, we want to see things that occur differently, then we need to create, and we need to see things differently. If we keep using the same template, same model, then we're going to get the same. But it's hard for people to look at it like that. It's hard for them to see it like that. But that's how it is. That's why we drive the same type of car. That's why we still burn fossil fuels. That's why we stay away from certain types of energy. Because we're stuck. We're stuck in this mode. We're stuck in the old systems, the old paradigms. Are they shifting? Are they changing? Of course they're changing and they're shifting, but slowly. Slowly may be better for us sometimes. But the universe loves speed, the universe hates a void, so we have to keep moving forward. Little by little, we have worked, we have changed, and we have changed our ways of life. We're more connected in ways that we can never imagine. But within this connecting, we're also disconnected. For example, Facebook is a good example. Now we connect in ways that we can never connect. We could have never connected. Now we actually talk and we do things that we can't even imagine that we could have done 20, 30 years, even 5 years ago. We can talk to people who live all the way across the world just by a single keystroke. And now we can do business. We can do work. We can do healing. We can do all kinds of things, which is amazing. But in the same token, we've lost the human aspect of who we are and what we do and how we feel and how we work together and how we feel together and how we engage together. It's funny because kids nowadays text more than they actually talk on the phone, because a lot of their excuses are, well, I can text a bunch of people versus talk to a bunch of people at one time. And it's a lot of my last show when I talked about that, I was talking about telepathy. It's a form of telepathy in a sense, where you're texting, when you're sending them messages, and you're sending to one another a way to share thoughts and feelings. But within the text, you don't feel the emotion, I believe, in my own personal, you know, view, vantage point of this. I don't feel that love and that caressness, like if someone spoke a word to me. Because so many texts and so many emails are misconstrued and misinterpreted because of someone, the way they expressed it. So now, as we move forward into this new evolution of technology and the way we communicate, some of us are left behind. Some of us move forward. Some of us are happy with being left behind, being where we need to be. Because there's a lot to know. There's a lot to understand. And so part of anybody's work now is to be connected. Move my mic here real quick. And being connected to one another is crucial. Because that's how we survive, to have that human interaction, to be with one another. That's why we create all these different entities and all these different clubs and all these different things that we do, churches, religion. We have to have that bond to connect to source, to feel the energy, to feel. Because alone, sometimes we don't feel it. By ourselves, we don't feel it. But I want to disagree with that statement that I'm saying. These are just things that I've learned. I think that we can feel a lot and be very connected if we choose to be. Sometimes it's easier to be removed from the things that, you know, bring us together. But sometimes it's good to be together in order to bring connection. Now, in the work I do, it's not a sedentary life. It's not a hidden life like it used to be. And then someone bring your child to for training. No. The training's endless. Endless. Now, with the verge of technology and the grasp of our hands, people who are one part of the country can communicate with another shaman back and forth. We can touch people. We don't have to travel anymore. Morse healing is remote healing anyhow, and healing is self-healing. We work on our healing. When we believe in aspects of ourselves that are hurt and damaged, we let them go and ask for forgiveness for, you know, that hurt. But if we hang on to things that hurt us and the things that, you know, feel pain, then those pains don't go away. They stay with us. So if you're willing to let go of things, then you can move forward. But if not, you'll stay right where you're at and you get the same results. It's like driving a car on ice and you wonder why you're not moving. You're just spinning your wheels and spinning your wheels and spinning your wheels. Why? Because you're doing the same exact thing. When you start to realize that you may have to back up a little bit, backwards and forwards, or rock side to side, or have somebody push you, physically or mentally, if someone push you to get over that hump, then things won't change. You'll get what you always get. So I'm just here to share with you to look at life differently, to look at the perceptions that you've created, the rose-colored glasses that you've created for yourself. In order to understand another is to understand yourself, and when it's hard to understand ourselves and the things that we do, how is it possible that we can even have the audacity to say that I know you, I know how you are, la la la. The only thing you know are the projections that you pushed onto people and the things that you've created and these scenarios that you've played out. So all you're really seeing is versions of yourself that you don't like or parts of you that you love. So as human beings, we do some crazy stuff and we justify it through violence, we justify it through punishment, we justify it for a bunch of stuff. Someone fixes our bedroom, makes it nice, and all of a sudden you're angry because someone did something nice for you. Granted, you weren't asked, and no one asked you to clean your room, but do you really have to go and tear it apart and put it back how it was just because you're bitter because someone didn't ask you? Or could you go, thank you, and said, you know, maybe together we can work on my room together next time? Just different little things like that. Or maybe the person who engaged could have asked, can we work on your room together when you are ready? It's all about communication. Communication is very important, especially when you're doing this type of work. Communication is understanding the living and understanding the spirit world and understanding, you know, what, you know, Creator wants from you, what the Great Spirit is calling you to do. It's easy to get confused very easy and to think that you're the magic. You're part of the magic. You're part of that system. You're the conduit. You're the facilitator. You're the medium. You're in the middle. I'm not saying that you don't have the gifts and you don't have the lightning bolts coming from your fingertips, but understand that that's endowed and gifted to us by a source that some we can't even pinpoint or understand. And everything has purpose, and you have purpose, and all the purpose that we bring together and all the purposes that we unify as one are there for a reason. Nothing just happens by chance or by accident. If we believe that things just happen by chance, then, you know, that's I don't know. That to me, just to think things happen randomly, no, I don't believe that. I just think that there is some planning at a higher level of the things that we're doing and working together. So what I ask you to do is just to see life from your vantage point, but also try to understand that other people have their own views on life and how they see things. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to be part of them. You don't have to accept them. But understand that in order to understand another, you first have to learn to understand yourself and how you play in part in things. If you're part in a situation where there's things going on and things are in a positive mode and you're there, do you believe that maybe somehow at some level you're part of the problem? You could be. But we don't know that. We don't know if that's a fact or not. True or not true. Could be true for you, not true for you. But it's kind of the same way. If someone's beating you and hitting you over and over repeatedly, do you stay there? Do you waddle in that anger? No. You move. You leave. You go off. You find a new set of friends or a new set of person who cares about you. So, you know, human nature is very easy to get caught and stifled and moved into these little spaces of a codependency. So first, being thankful, giving thanks to all the things around us is crucial. Very crucial. We don't do that anymore. We give thanks to our food, and that's about it. And, you know, we say a prayer and we're done. But people don't go out of their way to, you know, to thank, you know, the little things. The door, the toilet seat, you know, the knob at the hand. I mean, I'm not saying you have to say constantly thank you, thank you, thank you. But in your mind, have a background, knowing that things are there for you to serve you. Giving thanks to, you know, my cell phone working right now to transmit this show. That's huge. I don't take it for granted. I'm very thankful for that. I'm very grateful for that. The technology that's in my hands is so powerful. It used to cost millions of dollars to be able to do something like this. And now it just cost me my wireless internet connection for the month. And the person who created this platform, this application, to do it. I'm grateful for them that I didn't have to go out and create it, that I didn't have to sit there and write the code for it. Somebody else had the idea. I may have been the innovator in the thought process of creating something like that, but someone took these ideas from the universe and put them together and created this. But we don't, sometimes as humans, we don't see that. We just think, oh, well, we got it, yeah, I need my cell phone. Well, I'm thankful for my cell phone. Thankful that I have this opportunity to use my cell phone, to have these headphones in my ears, to look at the little blinking lights going up and down as I speak, to monitor, and the little clock that's on the side saying that I have 10 minutes left on the show. But that's kind of what I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to be consumed and engulfed in it and understanding. But in my world, I'm kind of like that. I'm thankful for the things. Because then when I have thanks, I have time to think about things. Or think about if I'm going to respond or react to something. And some, you know, as human beings, sometimes we react versus responding. Or we respond or we react, depending on the situation. But we do one or the other. Or we don't do anything. Or we just become aloof. We're just numb. I act like nothing happened. We live in an illusionary world. We live in a world that we think some things are the way they should be. And we look at the world and feel that sometimes the world owes us. We owe the world. We owe this great Mother Earth grand thanks. Grand thanks for giving us this opportunity to sit on it and breathe on it and love on it. Without this earth, we don't exist. We're not here. We're a different existence. As in the Bible, it says we come from the dirt, and the dirt we shall return. From dust to dust, dust we are. So it's very obvious that we came from the clay that was molded. We're molded from that. So why not give thanks to the Mother Earth, you know, and say, Mother Earth, thank you very much. Appreciate you because we're from you. God even said that. The universe said that. Whatever you believe, every great book has always said that. Doesn't matter if it's the Bible, the Torah, you know, whatever. Pagans, witches, whatever, they all talk about the same thing. That we all come from that source, from that clay. So I'm grateful for the earth. I say thank you to her and honor her. And do my best. And I will say that I'm doing my best to take care of her. Because I know that I fall short, like everybody else does. I fall short because sometimes it's so massive that I can only do so much in my teeny little space that I've created for me. But you know what? Knowing that I create and I can do something in that teeny little space is important to me. To understand that if there's enough of us doing in a teeny little space, then it becomes a bigger thing. And then we can work together to keep it clean, to keep it safe, to keep it balanced and healthy. For I know, and many medicine men and shamans know, that at some point, the earth is going to rumble and shake. But I'm not worried about the earth. My concerns are more about my fellow man, my fellow woman, that we're going to feel the wrath, we're going to feel the pain, we're going to feel all of those things that are very uncomfortable. But we need to feel it sometimes. We need to be reminded that we're small. Unfortunately, to be reminded, some of us lose our lives, some of us perish. So ask yourself, are you going to have any regrets when you're laying in bed, when you're 90, 80 years old, of things that you didn't do and the things that you wish you had done? Be thankful and grateful. Attempt to be. Because in the end, you can't take the houses with you. You can't take the money with you. You can't take nothing with you. The only thing you're taking with you is your spirit and your soul, and that's it. And the memories that you had throughout this life. And you're going to go wherever you've created and manifested in your mind. And I'm not here to talk about heaven and hell. That's up to you guys, what you believe in. That's not my concern. That's your concern. That's something you have to work out with your creator or with the universe, however you want to deal with it. I'm just here to talk about thanks and giving thanks to the things around us and the people around us, the things around us, my dog, my cat, my fish, the bag of chips I ate. For the sustenance and the nourishment, what little may be, but regardless. So folks, I want you to understand from my perception that I'm not here to tell you what to do. This is a Thanksgiving message from, you know, tomorrow being Thanksgiving, we're giving thanks for whatever we think is important to us. But I'm also here to be a reminder that there have been people who, you know, through time, have perished so we can have this Thanksgiving. And I think sometimes we forget that sight. You know, through many wars and many losses and many occupations, people have been forgotten. And I want to give thanks to those people for giving us something, teaching us something, that you're not forgotten, that Iggy Garcia, his family, his friends remember you. We remember all of you, even though we don't even know what you look like or who you were. The land that I lay on, the bed I sleep on, was once occupied by somebody else. That sometime before me, there was other people. So with that, I just want you to, you know, just make a little list and think about all the people and all the things, all the beautiful things that you've been gifted in this short life, which is actually really long when you put it into perspective of things. Choose the things that you want to do. Make a difference in the world by making a difference in your life. And when you make a difference in your life, you make a difference in the world. You can hide all you want, but all of us have the same ticket, the same time we're all going to go. So what are you going to do? What's it going to be? What haven't you done yet? Are you waiting for the bucket list? What if you don't make it to the bucket list? I guess you don't make it. there's some things that we can all be accomplishing right now. We truly just understood that in our life, the scheme of things is, we're no longer here. We move forward. We move on. Some of us believe that we come back. Some of us don't. In my case, I believe I come back. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to do anything in this life. I'm doing the best I can with what I have and the tools that I've been given, the tools that I've learned, the things that I've collected. And that's what I'm saying about you. You're doing the best you can. Do the best you can. And let other people do the best they can. Allow them their mistakes. Allow them their successes. Allow them to learn. So when you see the world from the human's point of view, it could be a very lonely place, but it could be a very exciting one too. So on Thanksgiving, give thanks. Give thanks for yourself. Give thanks for yourself for doing the best you can. Because you're doing the best you can. And you're the only person you're with 24 hours, 7 days a week. So you know all the things that you hide, all the things that you do, all the good little things that you want to do. You know what happens. You know how to move yourself. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today, and looking at life from Shava's point of view and what it means. So the next time I do a show, I'll be talking about another topic. This was about thanks, understanding the thanks of the gifts that you've been given. Because we all have gifts. We all have that magic. It's kind of where we started the show off today, understanding that we are all connected. We're all one. Because when we both, if you and I perish tomorrow, we go right back to the ground, right back to the earth. Our bodies no longer. No matter if they embalm you or not, your body's never going to be the same. It changes. It transmutes, it changes, it breaks down. When the universe is ready to reclaim you and bring you back, then that day will happen. Until then, while you're alive, make some things happen. Make some cool things occur. Go out there and say hello to somebody. When was the last time you said hi to someone on the bus, on the street, at the store? People are just trying to get along, trying to make it through this world just like you are. For some it's easier, and for others it's hard. It's difficult. So just think about that. We're all doing our very best. And so are the people who do the medicine work and the healers. They may be connected, but there's times where we have doubt about our abilities. So have a little faith, have a little trust in what you have to do. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today and taking a little half hour of their time to listen to Iggy. And you can find me on Facebook / Iggy Garcia Hoop Watcher, or you can go to my website, iggygarcia.com. Drop me an email, drop me a line, read my blog, see what I've been up to, all the different little things. With that, folks, I want to say good day. You guys have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see each other next time I'm on the broadcast. Welcome to my show. I'm Iggy Garcia. This is the Urban Suburban Shamanism, Episode 3. In the past shows, we've talked about different aspects of shamanism, what it meant to me, what it means to you. For everybody, it's completely different. But I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule today to spend about 45 minutes with me to kind of cover and talk about the things that interest me and the things that are in my heart, close to my heart. We all have our own spirituality that we're connected to, things that, you know, we resonate with. So just sit back and relax and enjoy the show, and we're just going to have a good time. And just, we're going to learn a little bit about shamanism. Shamanism is different to many different people and different cultures. It's one of the oldest forms of spirituality that's been around for a very long time. And there may be dates and there may be times that people will say it's been around for 2,000, 3,000 years. But I think shamanism is a type of spirituality that's very connected to the earth. It's very connected to the people. And by being connected to the earth, it's just one of those things that we all evolved from. We all come from that. The shamanism in our hearts is very powerful. Each one of us carries a special gift, something that is important to us, something that resonates with us, that we share with the world, that's very unique to each individual person. Just like every animal, you know, is very unique to its species, still there's individuality within the animal kingdom as there is as the human spirit. Man has been told it's been here for only a certain period of time, but I think man's been here much longer. Millions and millions of years longer than, you know, we have been told. And through that, man also creates ways to try to understand what the planet is like, what's around you, what it is. And that's one of the oldest things, to understand the Mother Earth. Shamanism, you know, I've heard many schools and many people say that a true shaman doesn't call himself or her a shaman. That may be true to some extent. That might be true to some degree. The way I look at it is we're all part of this collective mother, this collective earth, this love, this being that we're a part of. To call yourself a shaman is not to be shamed, not to be shameful or to even be or to be discounted. Everybody brings a certain magic to this planet. Everybody brings a certain magic that only you bring. So if you call yourself a priest or a nun or a doctor or a healer, there's a part of you that believes that. There's a part of you that resonates with that. A shaman is just another word for a type of healer, someone who's connected to Mother, connected to Earth. So if that's how you tell the world that you are doing the work, then I applaud you and I tell you to do it. It's great. There are people who are going to, you'll find some resistance from people who say that, but that's okay. And that's their belief, and that's, they're entitled to their belief as much as you're entitled to yours. So I just say go out there and do the best you can, because this world needs a lot of love and a lot of healing right now. Even from day one, it's needed love and healing. Man has lost his way, and woman has lost their way to walk on this planet and to understand. We're coming back to the point where we're connecting and reconnecting every day, little by little. But we've polluted her so much, and we've harmed her so much, and put her in such a bad state. But it doesn't really affect the mother. It affects the people who live on the mother, the people who live on this planet. You, me, our children, our ancestor, all these people who are here. We're the ones that suffer. We either suffer or we adjust or we become one with her. Now, to become one with the mother is very simple, very easy. It's understanding that, you know, the tree has purpose, the grass has purpose, everything has purpose. When we understand that other things have a different type of intelligence, something that's completely different, that doesn't look like us, it's then that's half the battle to understand and to allow things to be what they are. Now, of course, we also respect and we honor, but that's something that we've gotten away from. Now, I've talked on other shows about the urban settings and the suburban settings of shamanism. Shamanism is one of those things that's not exclusive to one culture, exclusive to one type of, you know, socioeconomic group. Every group has their shamans, their shamanistic ways, their rituals, without even thinking about them sometimes. But even in the urban settings, we are in a great need of understanding, you know, what we've disconnected with. Even in the suburban settings, we also have to understand the things that, how we've changed the structure, how we've changed the way we live. Every aspect of our life in shamanism can be very easy to sum up to be, you know, even the tree in your backyard in the suburban setting, or one tree in the urban setting, part of our world. That's one of the things that are super important. But what I do understand is this. When I've come connected with everything that's around me, you know, my life changes and everything opens up. I start to see things much differently. I start to see things in a way that I've never imagined. Who's to say a tree doesn't talk to you? Who's to say that grass doesn't wave to you each day? It's to look. A shaman is to look at things with an eye that the average person won't look at things. And to understand that even the dog that's in your kitchen, your cat that's in your home, or your fish that are in the fish tank, they all have a higher purpose, and they're there for a reason. They're there to share love to you. A shaman is understanding the love and reflecting back. Shamans work to heal themselves through nature. And through healing themselves through nature, they can help other people heal. Because one is, it's all about self-healing and understanding, you know, that I work on me first. As I work on myself, I can help others work on themselves. So it's a symbiotic system where we all work together and flowing together, ebb and flow, moving through the currents of life. So super important, you know, even when it rains or when it thunders, and thunder is powerful. So we like, for example, if I play this thunder beat, it conjures up emotions. It conjures up different feelings that go through your body. It conjures up memories. It conjures up all these things that we associate thunder or lightning with. It associates, you know, the imagination to create things in our mind, what would happen. It puts us in a certain state of mind of a preparation. Shamanism is that way to understand. The roads that we walk each day are very symbolic. The sidewalks, the roads we drive on, all these things are very, very part of what shamanism is, to understand that this road now has transmuted, has changed, has become something completely different, that has become something so magical in the sense that it supports us in a different way, which once was the Mother Earth, once was a mountain or a quarry, now has opened itself up to become something else. It's manifested, it's changed, it's created. Shamanism is also about understanding the creation and the evolution of things and how they change and where they've gone. So, as you progress in your understanding of shamanism, it's also to understand who you are and how you fit in. Now, is everybody open to being a shaman? Probably not, because sometimes when you start to open up these doors and these avenues of seeing the world differently, it can be kind of scary. It can be kind of frightful to some extent, to understand and feel and become very empathic. We all have an empathic energy about us to begin with. We know things, we feel things, we're connected with certain people. That's a form of shamanism. Shamanism doesn't have necessarily one true definition of the sense that it's that certain way, or if you didn't get struck by lightning, or if you didn't have some catastrophic event in your life to change you. That doesn't mean you're not a shaman. Shaman is understanding the connections that you have with the things around you, the people around you, the things that come around you, how you handle the things that come around you, how you handle adversity. It's just being human being. It's just being connected with life. I use the word shaman because it describes something that's more powerful and more deep than I am personally in my own belief system. It takes me to a whole new level and understanding. That's why for me shamanism is so powerful and important. Now, there are other types of healers. There are Reiki practitioners. There are shaman witches. There are all kinds of different things. There are massage therapists. They all have their own gifts. They're all, the better word for a shaman would probably be a medicine person. We each bring to the table into this world our own gifts, which are the medicine. The medicines that we share with the people. The medicines that we share with life. Super, super powerful. Every person that you encounter is your teacher. Every person that you share a thought with, share an emotion with, is an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to share. Some of us don't look at things like that. Sometimes we look at things as something that's there to harm us, hurt us, or will definitely change us. If we allow it, we're able to absorb it and learn from it. Love expresses itself in a way that we can't understand sometimes, and it becomes very fearful sometimes. But when we start to understand that the things that happen to us are part of our doing and part of our invitation of this, it is true. We have opportunities in life when we pay attention to know when something is going to affect us, when something is going to happen to us. Now, we discount it as just, you know, a feeling. We discount it as something as, whatever. But there are things that come to us and help us in order for us to understand. There could be situations. You hear about this all the time. A mother gets a phone call. She already knows what's going to be on the other line. But yet she picks up and, you know, the news may be good, may be bad. But either way, it's news. You get it. We're so connected to one another, we don't even understand how connected we are. We know things before they happen sometimes. Now, do we choose to connect to it? Do we choose to be part of it? Do we choose to embrace it? Well, that's the question. That's the true question. Do we want to? I would have to guess that a lot of people at some level disconnect because it can be too traumatic, or it can be too much an overload and too much of a spookiness. It's spooky here. You know, that's kind of spooky. I don't know. That kind of takes me out of my paradigm. That takes me out of my belief system. It takes me out of the belief of a certain religion that you're part of. But when you look back at all types of religions, all types of groups, they all have some type of connection with the Mother Earth, some type of connection with a spiritual being, some type of connection with something that's greater than them, even bigger than they can even fathom. You know, I also have friends who are atheists, and they don't believe in necessarily spirit. They just believe things that, but that's a belief. That's an understanding that there's nothing. There's just us. That's it. That's something they have to believe. And that's fine. That's a belief system. So to tell me that you don't believe that there's no God, you don't believe in anything, some are very extreme or some are very just, you know, casual atheists, which I understand. But in shamanism is to understand that there is more, to be able to cross into the other realm, to go into the underworld, living in the middle world to the higher planes and being able to transcend between the three, living in the one, moving through the other, and moving through the upper. But we do that every day. We do that with our emotions. We do that how we're feeling in the things that go on in our life. So I invite you to look at the world in a different way, to look at the world with a different light, to look at the world with eyes very different than what you do, and to catch yourself in those moments when you're having a hard time or when you're not feeling well. Why don't you feel well? You know, self-analyze. The best cure for anything is understanding who you are in that moment. And a lot of it's this, how we're feeling in the moment, because that's all we truly have is the moment. No matter what we plan, no matter where we go, no matter how we want to be or where we want to be, we truly only have the moment. Shamans understand that. Medicine people understand that. That being in the present moment and being right there and knowing that this right now is the most valuable thing, to sit there in meditation, to sit there and listen, to sit there to speak, share your heart, is important. Now, are there perfect people? No, there's perfect moments. There's precious moments. There's fearful moments. There are moments of whatever you want to call it, but that's what it is. It's moments. A moment of bliss, a moment of euphoria. And in shamanism, that's important to know. That's why we try to go into these states of mind. We can either do it through rattling, drumming, singing, toning, and just different ideas. Through clapping. There are different techniques to get into a certain state of mind. But why do we travel to these states of mind? It's in order to relax the ego. In order to relax those pieces and parts of us that are trapped in time. That don't quite understand what that means and why it means that. So, how do we do that? Well, I also have a meditation on this, all my episodes, if you look back. You can look, and I believe it is on, it's called Shamanic Meditation Journey. You can click that on Sprecher here and listen to that. The rattle is to conjure up and to disturb and to let go and to bounce around in your head and to focus on that energy that you're trying to channel. There are many Buddhist monks, when they meditate, they understand that only the meditation will only be nothing more than maybe a minute or a second, a brief moment, a brief glimpse, which I've had myself, where I was meditating in a bamboo forest. And inside this bamboo forest that I was in at a friend's farm that they had, I sat there and I saw this light opening up and opening up slowly and slowly. And at the last second, I remember someone speaking their voice, and they saw me, a friend, you know, mentioned me. Oh, Iggy. And it totally just went away. And I was so, I was frustrated at the moment, but I was also very glad that I got to experience that moment. But I got to see that, and I have not been able to actually necessarily get back to that point again. Been very close, but it was an amazing feel. It was an amazing thing. You know, there are just mysteries about ourselves that we still have to unlock. And that's why I invite you to explore shamanism, the exploration of self, exploration of who you are and how you fit in on this cosmic, you know, journey. I'm going to take a 2-second pause and I'll be right back. Thank you for tuning into Urban Suburban Shamanism, Episode 3. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, with Insights Radio, broadcasting on the Sprecher Network. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Hopefully you're enjoying what you're listening to. We also have a show on with Insights Radio that we share on Mondays at 6 p.m. And we also have a show called Lunchtime Wisdom. It's at 11:30 a.m. on Tuesdays. Thursday, we have An Anna Love. And on Fridays at 11 a.m., we have Mark the Rabbit Hole. And then at midnight on Friday, we have Mudtoe Sasquatch sharing his different beliefs and different things that he shares. All these people are types of healers. Some of them are medicine men. Some of them are shamans. Some of them are just lay people sharing their thoughts. But we invite you to listen. That's at www.withinsightsradio.com. Or you can visit me on iggygarcia.com to get to know me a little better and connect to all the different websites that we're hooked up and affiliated with. Then I'm also on Facebook at Iggy Garcia, (Hoop Watcher). That has nothing to do with basketball. A lot of people think it does. Hoop Watcher is just my spiritual name that was given to me by a medicine chief in the Nemenha, Philip Cloudpiler. So I want to share a little bit about them sometime on another show. But, you know, let's get back to here what we're talking about shamanism. Shamans are also very connected to particular animal totems, particular spirits, angels. We have our helpers. Our helpers are super important. On yesterday's show on With Insights, we talked about angel helpers. The angel helpers are those unseen or seen angels or entities or animals that, you know, respond to our call for help, or they guide us, or they show us. Many of us have seen shows where or movies where an angel has, for example, Ghost is a good example. Ghost, where the boyfriend gets killed, and then but he's there and he helps the girl get along and helps save her through the scenes, which is pretty powerful. They told him he couldn't do it, but he did. It was amazing. Those are just one of the examples. I've seen other shows like that too. Star Wars is an example of the Force. You have these are imaginary and these are things, but they're drawn from shamans and they're drawn from different things. You have Yoda with levitating powers. They die and they transform and they change into, their bodies go and they resurrect into the Force. They get assimilated into the system. Are these things real? Is this real as whatever you want to make it? Our imagination is what creates the world. It's what makes the world. The more imaginative you are, and the more beauty you'll bring into the world, and expressing and feeling and sharing with the world. That's what shamanism is about, is understanding and allowing other people to kind of self-direct themselves.